The picture of heaven then is the tabernacle itself, the facsimile of the heavenly realms, according to the book of Hebrews, which is to me a fascinating fact, that when they built this tabernacle and put all these artifacts in it and worshiped at it and offered animal sacrifices, and they had the mercy seat on the inside there where the high priest would go once a year and offer sacrifice for the whole nation. When they built all of that at God's command, the writer of Hebrews says, the Spirit of God using this writer who wrote the book, we call it the book of Hebrews. In this book of Hebrews, it is an astounding fact that God said he was giving them a facsimile of heavenly realms. This is how heaven works. Now, we think of heaven sometimes as a place of clouds and angels and harps and people sitting on clouds doing nothing, but that's not what it's like. Heaven is an amazing place. I want you to see this. I'm going to give you some things here. I've put this up here. The heaven's focus is about saving humans. That's really what the focus is about. That's why God said, build this thing to make it look like the heavenly realms, because that's where atonement goes on. That's where forgiveness goes on. That's where people are brought to a place where God can welcome them into the heavenly realms. It is a place of acceptance. It is a place where your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a place where you go to live forever. It's a place where God is with you, where you are in God's presence. So in Hebrews, it talks about that issue, and it says, we're going to look at Jesus and the true tabernacle, because in the book of Hebrews, it's a lot about Jesus and him being the high priest. If you have a Bible handy, get to Hebrews chapter 8. It'll make more sense if you're looking at it. Hebrews chapter 8. We're going to look at number one. Heaven contains the true tabernacle. Number one, heaven contains the true tabernacle. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 and verse 2. Here's what the writer says. The Holy Spirit says this. The point of what we're saying is this. We do have such a high priest, a great high priest. The Jews were worried. This is written to Hebrews. Who are Hebrews? Jewish people who had become Christians. And now they're kind of concerned about, now we're Christians, we don't have a priesthood. We don't worship like that anymore. We don't have the formality. We don't have the high priest. And they're kind of concerned about that. And the writer says, the Holy Spirit says, no, you do have a high priest. And you are worshiping not at the facsimile, not at the model, but at the real thing. If you go to some of our hobby stores in town, you'll see shelves and shelves and shelves of models. Model airplanes, model cars, model trucks, all kinds of models. Some of the model airplanes even fly. You see all of that, but I don't think anybody would get confused and think that's the real, that box with that those pieces of plastic in it are the real thing. No, that's a model somebody puts together and puts it on their shelf. The model, the tabernacle, was the model of heaven, of what goes on in heaven and the heavenly realms. Chapter 8 of Hebrews, verse 1. The point of what we're saying is this. We do have such a high priest. We're not without a high priest, he says, who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by man. So he said, the real one is there. The heaven is the real one. Heaven is the place where Jesus serves. In fact, he does something very unusual that no high priest would ever have done. If the high priest went into the Holy of Holies, he never would have pulled up a chair and sat down. Probably be stricken dead, because you just don't sit in God's presence like that. You don't disrespect God's presence. That this is Jesus, our great high priest, what does he do? That heaven contains this true tabernacle where he is and where he sits. And verse 2, he does something in the sanctuary. He serves. That's where he is now. That's where Jesus is now. He's in heaven, and he's doing something. Now, he is seated now, and he'll get to that in a minute about why that's true. But he serves in the true tabernacle set up, the sanctuary rather, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by men. So if you made a model of heaven, it would look like the tabernacle. If you made a model of heaven, it would look like the Jewish temple was back in Solomon's day. Now, why does heaven look like that? You may have thought, well, heaven looks like a beautiful beach, because I love going to the beach. Or you might have thought heaven looks like Blue Ridge Mountains or the Rocky Mountains, because I love going to the mountains. Well, it'll be a beautiful world, but the center and the focus where God is and where Jesus sits is a place of atonement, a place of transaction between God and the human race. And Jesus is there. Number two, Jesus serves there as high priest. Jesus serves there. Verse 2, Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 2. He serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle, set up by the Lord, not by man. Well, man set up the one on the earth, right? But God has the one in the heavenly realms. Verse 3, every high priest is appointed both to offer gifts and sacrifices, so it was necessary for this one, Jesus, also to have something to offer. He goes on to say, if Jesus were on earth, he wouldn't be a priest. In their day, why wouldn't he be a priest? Well, he was not of the tribe of Levi. He was of the tribe of Judah. So he said, if he's still on earth, he wouldn't be a priest. For there are already men who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. When this was written by the Spirit through the writer of Hebrews, the priesthood was still going on across the way in the temple. But he says in verse 4, if he were here on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already men who offer gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy. The one Moses built was a copy and a shadow of what is in heaven. What is in heaven? Well, the picture I showed you a while ago was kind of a shadow. Now, when you have shadows, you can't quite see all the delineation and all the grading of color, and you can't see any of that. What they looked at on earth, what we see drawings of today, was a copy of the heavenly realms. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build a tabernacle. Here's what God said to Moses when he was building the tabernacle. See to it that you make everything. See to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. When Moses was on Mount Sinai, God showed him this. I want you to build it this way. Don't deviate from that. The writer here says, why shouldn't he deviate from that? Because it is a small model of the real thing. There is a real thing. Verse 6, but the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs, as the covenant of which he's a mediator is superior to the old one, which is founded on better promises. What is he saying? Oh, this thing with Moses and with the people, and they couldn't keep the law, and God was angry at them, and they tried hard, but then they would fall away from God. All of that, he said, was that first covenant. What was that first covenant? God said, I will be your God, you will be my people. I will lead you to a land, and I will build for you a place. And when I get you to that place, you'll have abundance, and you'll have rest from all your enemies. That was the deal between God and Israel. The only problem was Israel couldn't keep their end of the bargain, because they're just like us. Sinners, people who fall and fail. They couldn't keep that covenant. So the writer of Hebrews here says there's another covenant. All of the rest of chapter 8 talks about the new covenant. So think about how the tabernacle in heaven, what's going on there. Number one, heaven contains the true tabernacle. Number two, Jesus serves as there as high priest. Number three, this is going to be Hebrews 9, Jesus cleanses it with his own blood. Chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. When Christ came as high priest, oh, we have a high priest. Moses had one, and Israel had one, but they sent him into that tent. We have a high priest. Where is he now? He's in heaven, taking up for us. He's in heaven interceding for us. He's in heaven being our mediator, is called here. High priest of, when Christ came as high priest of the good things are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. There's one in heaven. That's what heaven is. It's a great big tabernacle for worshiping God. It's a great big place where sacrifice is offered. You'll see that in a minute. He did not enter, verse 12 of Hebrews 9, by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Aaron, the high priest, would go in and he would offer sacrifices pretty much every day. All the priests would offer sacrifice. And then once a year, Aaron, the high priest, and whoever later received that job, would go in as high priest and offer sacrifices. But it would only do for about a year. And it did, the writer of Hebrews says it didn't do anything for their conscience. It didn't forgive their sins. All it did was pay their fine for the next year. Like when you pay a parking ticket or you pay a speeding ticket, you're out of sync. You get a speeding ticket, you're out of sync with the law of the land, and somehow you got to make that up. If you don't, it gets worse. You start getting flags on your insurance or on your license and all of that. So at some point, you go pay the fine and get all that squared away. I believe that when the high priest went in for Israel, Aaron or whoever was the high priest went in for Israel and did what they did, they just paid the fine for a year. They just said, okay. God says, okay, I'll let you live another year. I'll let the nation live another year. I'll let the nation survive another year. Did you notice when the nation of Israel fell and went off into apostasy and got off into terrible things and left God behind? They didn't have the tabernacle, temple, priesthood, any of that. They don't have it today. It's gone. The original one that Moses built was patterned after what's in heaven. Christ cleansed it, like Aaron cleansing with the blood of animals. It says here, he did not enter, Hebrews 9, verse 12, he didn't enter by means of blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place. The most holy place was the holiest place on earth for the Jewish people. There is a holy place now. It's just not on earth. There is a most holy place. It's in the heavenly realms. There are temples on the earth, and that's us. Are we not the temple of the Holy Spirit? The church is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You individually, we are temples of the Spirit. This is going to make more sense later. God resides in us. The most holy place is in heaven. It's in heaven, but you get a piece of it in yourself. Because worshiping God, you worship in spirit and in truth, don't you? Because you're a spirit being. And God has renewed your spirit. And God has caused your spirit to be born again. So you have God inside you. God's spirit living in you. And you worship God anytime, anywhere. Paul and Silas worshiped in a jail cell after they'd been beaten half to death. And they were in there singing and praying. They were worshiping God in a jail cell. With their backs all bleeding. Why? Because God's spirit was in them. The Holy of Holies in heaven has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. The holy place inside you has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. Verse 13, the blood of goats and bulls and ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so they're outwardly clean. They paid the fine. Blood of bulls and goats didn't do anything for their sin, really, as far as their personal relationship with God. That had to come another way. That had to come by faith. Verse 15, for this reason Christ is mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. The Jews got a land that was a temporary inheritance. It has come and gone over the centuries, hasn't it? Ours is not that way. Our inheritance is eternal. It lasts forever. Jesus got it for us now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. So that's chapter 9. The third point, chapter 9, verse 11 to about verse 28. If you go down to verse 23. It was necessary, Hebrews 9, verse 23. It was necessary then for the copies of the heavenly things, the copy on earth. It had to be cleansed with animal sacrifices. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Animal blood won't do any good in heaven because you can't get it there. How are you going to take a bowl of animal blood into heaven? Can't get it there. It's not supernatural. For Christ did not enter, get this, verse 24. For Christ did not enter a man-made sanctuary that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Why is he there? For me. Why is he there? For you. In the presence of God. He cleanses it with his own blood. Verse 25, nor did he enter heaven itself to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Then Christ would have had to suffer many times. How many times did Christ suffer and die for us? Once. Does he have to do it again? No. Why doesn't he have to do it again? Because he lives in that sanctuary. He lives there at the right hand of the Father, seated because his work is finished. He lives there. The holiest place that there is, the holiest place, the most fascinating, most exciting, holiest place that exists is in the presence of God. That's why heaven is going to be so fascinating. I guarantee you're not going to get bored in heaven. Some people think, oh, I get bored. They get bored in church and they think they're going to get bored in heaven. No, no. When you're in the presence of God, it is stunning. It is amazing. It is beyond what words I can use to explain it. You read the scriptures and somehow they'll jump into your spirit and tell you more about it than I can. But that experience of being there and being in the most holy place, the holiest place that exists. Jesus is there, and he has already given his blood, like the priest used to do in the Old Testament, but this is Jesus' blood. Sinless blood. Jesus never sinned. He did not have a human father. The Holy Spirit created the fetus that became Jesus in Mary's womb. His blood is sinless, and that sinless blood stands in for your sinful blood. His blood is there and has cleansed. Verse 26, then Christ would have to suffer many times since the creation of the world, but now he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as man's destined to die once, after that face of judgment, so Christ, it says here, was sacrificed once to take away the sins of the people. He'll appear a second time. Has Jesus cleansed the most holy place by his blood? Yes. Why did he do that? Well, the Bible says he's the last Adam. The first Adam got us into this mess. The last Adam went to heaven on our behalf, being the Son of God, but also human. God, but also human. Went to the heavenly realms with his own blood, and showed himself to the Father as the sacrifice that counts once for all for everybody. Sin's already been paid for. Your sin's already been paid for. Your sin was paid for before you were born. You can't sin enough to desecrate the blood of Jesus. You can't sin enough to cause God not to love you anymore. Now, you can sin so much you'll fall away from him and wind up with the devil. I don't want to do that, do you? But this is amazing. This is why it's called a gospel. So number three, Jesus cleanses it with this heavenly sanctuary with his own blood. Number four, Jesus sat down after finishing his work. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs. See, when he was writing this, the priesthood was still functioning in Herod's temple over in Jerusalem. Now, after that, it all disappeared in AD 70. because the Romans destroyed it. But when he writes this, what does he say, verse 11? Hebrews 10, verse 11. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. That's the priesthood of Israel. But, verse 12, when this priest, Jesus, when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, honored position. There's one of us, human beings, sitting next to God. He's sitting next to God. And you get to sit next to God because he's sitting next to God and you're going to be able to. We've already been raised, according to Ephesians chapter 2, to sit with him in heavenly places. He's our representative. He's the one that did it for us. He's seated at the right hand. Verse 13, since that time he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That's us, folks. Do you get frustrated with yourself because you're not perfect? We all do. Do you get frustrated with yourself? Do you have a talk with yourself and say, you got to do better than this? He said, look at this. He has, because by one sacrifice, boom, and that was it. No bulls, no goats, no doves, one. Once for all, sacrifice. He has made perfect forever those who are being made whole. When are you made perfect forever? Right now. You're in the process of learning to live that way. You're in the process of growing and changing, but in your spirit, you've already been made holy before God. You say, I just don't believe that. Okay. Then you don't believe what God said. I understand. It's a struggle sometimes. It's a struggle to say, do I really deserve all this? No. Nobody does but Jesus. He bought it for us. He sat down because his work is done. And the last one, number 5, chapter 10, verse 19. Now we belong there. This world's not my home. Didn't we just sing that? I'm just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond that blue sky, right? I don't belong here. You don't belong here forever. We're not going to be here forever, are we? Temporary. I saw a post the other day where somebody said, look around. All this clutter you see used to be money. All that money you used to have came at the expense of time. And then it said, avoid Black Friday. Because a year from now, next Black Friday, all this clutter I got, where did I get all that? Oh, got it last Black Friday, you know. The point is, it's all temporary. Our prayer workshop one year, I was standing in the foyer, and a guy came in, a visitor that comes quite a bit, and he came, and we were talking, and he looked, people were coming in, getting ready for a prayer workshop, and he looked at me, and he said, 100 years from now, all new people. Amen to that one. If the world lasts 100 years, we won't be here. There'll be some all new, there might be a child in here that might be 105 in a nursing home, but, you know. Wow, it's all temporary. We belong where? Chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence. Oh, this is all supposed to build confidence in us. The Word of God will bring confidence to you. It will build in you the spirit of the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. The Word of God will build somebody posted a picture one day and showed a little kitten walking around, and it said, that's me going into my prayer time. Then it showed a lion coming out. That's me coming out of my prayer time. He said, we have confidence now. Verse 19 of chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter where? The most holy place by the blood of Jesus. I bet when a lot of Hebrew Christians read that, they put their hand over their mouth. Oh, my Lord, I would never go in the most holy place. That's reserved for the high priest. No other priest even goes in there. I'm supposed to go in the most holy place. That's where you belong. Notice what he says. That's where you belong. Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain that is his body. When the priest, high priest in Israel went through from holy place to most holy place, there was a gigantic curtain, and he had to go through that curtain. He said, now we have a curtain, and it's called the body of Jesus. Where's the body of Jesus? He gave it on the cross, and then he took it to the heavenly realms, and then he took it into the most holy place, and it's there, and that's your ticket to get in. He is your ticket to get into that place. If you have faith in him and confidence in him and you believe in him, you say, that's where I belong. That's my destiny. Since we have, verse 21, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. Come in boldly, he says in another place. Come in boldly. Why? You belong there. Why? I'm a child. I come to my father's house. I'm not afraid to walk into my father's house because my older brother's there and he got me in. He paid the price. He's there showing himself 24/7 that he's the reason I get in. He's the reason. So a lot of Christians don't have much, they don't know much about heaven anyway, and then they don't have much confidence that they can go there. Just hope so. I hope so. If you say, I hope I go to heaven. You haven't been reading this. What does this say? Confidence. Verse 20, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. He who promised is faithful. He promised us this. You ever seen a child and a parent? They're walking along and the child says something about wanting a toy. And, well, we're not going to get one today. And the kid looks up at the mom and says, but you promised. You promised. And if that child's bold enough, that promise is going to come true, isn't it? Has God promised us? Just said that. He said he has. He who promised us is faithful. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. So because we all have a home there, we're already there in spirit, already have the Spirit of God in us, we already live in God's presence anytime we want to be, then we start looking out for each other. I don't want you to miss it. Do you want me to miss it? I don't want you to miss that. I don't want you to miss that transition from this body to the heavenly realms where we die and go to be with Christ, and then we come back and our bodies are raised and we're just like Jesus. We're all going to be walking around the most holy place like Jesus because of what he did. That's where we live, not some little tabernacle on earth, in the glorious place where God is and where God lives. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. We always use that to hit people over the head about, you haven't been coming to church, have you? And now he gives you the reason. What's the reason I ought to be here? Because I love you. Do you love us? Do you love me? Do you love us enough to say, I'm praying for you. I'm watching out for you. I don't want anybody to miss this trip. I don't want anybody to lose what they have. Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. So look at that. If you made a model of heaven, it would look like the tabernacle. Didn't you read about the real deal? You read about the real thing and you say, I want to go there. I want to go there when this old troubled life is over. I heard old preachers used to say this. Many years ago, I heard old preachers say one time, life's fitful fever. It's like we're all in a fever. We're all in a fever. You ever seen anybody with a fever? They're shaking. And he said, that's the way life is. Do you want to be somewhere better? Do you want to have a better destiny? Do you want to have, you want to just die, just be a tombstone somewhere? You want to go to be with Jesus? We want to go, don't we? We want to be with him. Well, I put one last slide up here. It's amazing. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Since we're in Hebrews. And we'll quit with this. I preached the whole sermon on this one time. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Are we supposed to hang on because of what he's done for us? Yes. Can you hang on a little longer? I think we can. I think we can do that. Father, thank you so much for teaching us this today. Thank you for the seed that's being planted in us right now. Thank you for the spiritual progress we're making as we grow to see and understand and grow to be like you. We thank you, Father, that you accept us anytime. Even now, as I'm praying and as this group is praying, we know, Father, our prayers are right there in your throne room. Our prayers are right there in your presence. We come, Father, expecting answers, not because of who we are, not because of our goodness, not because we've earned anything. We come, Father, relying completely on our great high priest, Jesus, to keep us in the right place with you, Father, to keep us forgiven, to keep us in your love and in your care. Thank you, Father, for that. And we thank you as we pray that you will touch each one here today with greater confidence. Give us greater confidence that you love us and that is our destiny to be with you forever. Thank you, Father. In the name of the great high priest, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.